So today, of course, is Memorial Day, a day that theoretically we remember folks in the service and especially folks who gave their life for this country. Whoa. Not sure what's going on. I'm expecting a foot to come through the ceiling at any moment. Interesting. So my reflection centered on the word sacrifice and about the role of this word in spiritual life. And of course, it's an interesting word.
Can we have some?
I'm not willing to sacrifice my cookie. I'm sorry, really.
So it's an interesting word. Etymologically, it means to make sacred, to sacrifice. And of course, many ancient religions had various kinds of animal sacrifices, barnyard animals, this sort of thing. Of course, there's even cultures that have practiced human sacrifice. One that is interesting to me, among the Aztecs, they would have this game, and I don't know too much about the details of the game. I don't know how much is known about the details of the game, but there'd be these two teams, and there'd be some gigantic ball, and the teams would be trying to get it to one side of the court or the other. I'm not exactly sure how they scored or what the deal was, but there definitely was a winner and a loser. And at the end of the game, wow, at the end of the game, the captain of the losing team performed a sacrifice. In other words, he sacrificed the captain of the winning team. And so it's very anti-intuitive to our modern way of thinking that ultimately they were playing for the right, for their captain to have the right to be the sacrificial victim. And it's really an extraordinary, you know, it's the complete opposite of the way we think, you know. But this idea that the person being sacrificed, that they were being made sacred, you know, and that really, you know, they were going to their death at, you might say, the most winning moment of their life, you know, and you know, reflective of you know, the common Native American saying, you know, today is a good day to die, this sort of thing. And so it's, again, very, very paradoxical and different from certainly our American way of thinking, you know. So what is sacrifice? Now, certainly there are sacrifices we do in ordinary life, and there's what I might call strategic sacrifices, sacrifices where the mind says, if I want to get this, I need to give up this, you know, this sort of thing. And that's not really the stuff of sacrifice. I mean, those are useful skills to have, you know, skills like impulse control and delayed gratification. These are wonderful skills to have, but that's not really the stuff of sacrifice. There's a second region, I'd say, where we're giving up and ego, strategic mind, doesn't actually know exactly what it's going to get, you know. For example, beginning a meditation practice. Obviously, it's a huge sacrifice in terms of time, commitment, energy, you know, discipline, that sort of thing. There's not a clear, immediate, scheduled payoff for starting a meditation practice. We have this general sense that, quote, it would be good, but we don't know exactly how it's going to benefit us. Starting a love relationship is certainly in this category. You know, again, we have this idea that if it goes well, it could be this really wonderful thing. But in some ways, we limit our freedom. We make certain sacrifices in order to make it happen, and then we don't know, actually, we certainly don't know at the outset exactly how it's going to turn out. Much of growth is in this category. Certainly raising children is in this category. This is unique. I wonder, it's very strange. Anyway, I hope he's having a good time. The most profound kinds of sacrifice are the sacrifices that involve some loss of ego, some loss to the ego. Often it is a step toward our wholeness. One of the symbol that Jung used to talk about our wholeness, he used the word the self, the capital S self. And at one point he said, every victory for the self is experienced as a defeat for ego. And this is the one where the strategic mind really has trouble wrapping its head around it, because, how can I say, if there's anything to gain, it won't be the I that's gaining it, if you see what I mean. And so in order to talk about this kind of sacrifice, I selected several poems. So as usual, I have a quote sheet. Make its way around. The first is a poem by Rumi that I absolutely love. So I'll just read this. In the moment you are drunk on yourself, the friend seems a thorn. In the moment you leap free of yourself, what use is the friend? In the moment you are drunk on yourself, you are the prey of a mosquito. In the moment you leap free of yourself, you go elephant hunting. In the moment you are drunk on yourself, you lock yourself away in cloud after cloud of grief. In the moment that you leap free of yourself, the moon catches you and hugs you in its arms. In the moment you are drunk on yourself, the friend abandons you. In the moment you leap free of yourself, the wine of the friend in all its brilliance and dazzle is held out to you. In the moment you are drunk on yourself, you are withered, withered like autumn leaves. In the moment you leap free of yourself, winter appears to you in the dazzling robes of spring. All disquiet springs from the search for quiet. Look for disquiet, and you will come suddenly on a field of quiet. All illness springs from scavenging for delicacies. Renounce delicacies, and poison itself will seem delicious to you. All disappointment springs from your hunting for satisfactions. If you could only stop, all imaginable joys would be rolled like pearls to your feet. Be passionate for the friend's tyranny, not his tenderness, so the arrogant beauty in you can become a lover that weeps. When the king of the feast, Shams al-Din, arrives from Tabriz, God knows you'll be ashamed then of the moon and the stars. And so there are a number of things I like in that poem. This idea of, there's something very intuitive about, we know the times when we're really drunk on ourselves. And, and the strategic mind often has no problem with the fact that we're drunk on ourselves, but we open to a much larger, we open to a much larger experience when we can move beyond that. But that requires a kind of sacrifice, a kind of letting go of the all importance of ego. And I love the line, be passionate for the friend's tyranny, not his tenderness, so the arrogant beauty in you can become a lover that weeps. Ego really likes to be in charge. Ego really likes to be in control. You know? And how can I say? In many religious traditions, certainly among monks, both East and West, they take a vow of obedience. Now, that's not necessarily appropriate in our, you know, in our secular everyday life. But what is it to be faithful, say, to the precepts, or faithful to whatever it is that we most value, even when it's not what ego likes, and to be passionate about that kind of, you know, obedience to what we know is best, rather than what I want in the moment on a whim, that kind of thing. I'll read this Joseph Campbell quote, which appealed to me also, and this also speaks very much to the paradox. We have not even to risk the adventure alone, for the heroes of all times have gone before us. The labyrinth is thoroughly known. We have only to follow the thread of the hero path, and when we had thought to find an abomination, we shall find a god. And where we had thought to slay another, we shall slay ourselves. And where we had thought to travel outward, we shall come to the center of our existence. And where we had thought to be alone, we shall be with all the world. And so many paradoxes there, that we, ego so much thinks that, you know, anger, you know, if I'm angry at someone, the problem is out there, or if I want something, the joy is out there. Ego is always fixated on finding the solution out there. And it's so anti-intuitive for the strategic mind to look inward and to take that inward journey. On the back, a couple of evocative quotes from T.S. Eliot from the Four Quartets. But to apprehend the point of intersection of the timeless with time is an occupation for the saint. No occupation either, but something given and taken in a lifetime's death and love, ardor and selflessness and self-surrender. And it's an image that I've shared before. He talks about the timeless there and the intersection of the timeless with time. Ego very much exists in the field of time. That's the field we know, past and future. And often ego is far more concerned with past and future than what's going on in the present moment. Eternity is a word that in the modern world has kind of lost its meaning. People think of eternity as a lot of time, but that's not what eternity is. Eternity, in fact, is a different dimension. And much as time is a realm of becoming, eternity is a realm of being. And so the classical statement, you know, God exists in eternity, it's not God is existing and then there's, you know, like all this time going on forever and ever. It's a different state of being than the state of being in time. And the point of intersection of eternity and time is the present moment. And that is precisely why the present moment has a depth of being to it that doesn't exist in the past or the future. And so part of surrender is about opening to that dimension where ego doesn't necessarily have a lot of control or understanding. But opening to the power of that. Another quote, this is from the second of the four quartets. Old men ought to be explorers. Here and there does not matter. We must be still and still moving into another intensity, a further union, a deeper communion. Through the dark cold and the empty desolation, the wave cry, the wind cry, the vast waters of the petrel and the porpoise. In my end is my beginning. Ego is very much concerned with being warm and cozy. The mammalian mind is very concerned with being warm and cozy, and that's what it wants. And to some extent, the mammalian mind would be willing to sacrifice anything else in order to be warm and cozy. Growth is uncomfortable, you know, and especially all kinds of any kind of spiritual growth is going to be very uncomfortable. And I just love this quote of the idea that even as we get older, you know, we shouldn't be seeking what's the best way to be comfortable, but what's the best way to keep growing. And really this almost dynamic vision of what it is to age. David White has this line about growing younger and younger toward death. Yeah, and I think this is very much in that vein. And then from the last of the four quartets, "And what you thought you came for is only a shell or a husk of meaning from which the purpose breaks only when it is fulfilled, if at all. Either you had no purpose, or the purpose is beyond the end you figured and is altered in fulfillment. There are other places also which are the world's end, some at the sea jaws, over a dark lake, in a desert or a city, but this is the nearest in place and time." Ego really has this way of thinking, it knows what's going to happen, you know? Like, ego is so, you know, like, I'm going to have this conversation, I know exactly how it's going to go, you know? And we do that over and over and over again, despite all evidence, you know? And what I love about that passage is it just brings out the mystery of any important encounter, any real conversation, we don't know what's going to happen. And maybe I have some sort of purpose in entering that conversation, but that purpose is, it's sort of an empty shell, as it were, and something else actually unfolds in the moment. And again, it takes a kind of surrender, really takes tremendous surrender to enter any real conversation. What's that?
He's skipping rope again.
Yes, he is. So just a couple other quotes at the end here from the Maid of Orleans, Joan of Arc. "One life is all we have, and we live it as we believe it, as we believe in living it. But to sacrifice what you are and to live without belief is a fate more terrible than dying." Powerful words, and especially powerful since that young woman lived out those words. From Sadhu Vaswana, "True love is selfless. It is prepared to sacrifice." And yes, there is this incredible connection between love and sacrifice. This wonderful one from Sai Baba. "Life is a song. Sing it. Life is a game. Play it. Life is a challenge. Meet it. Life is a dream. Realize it. Life is a sacrifice. Offer it. Life is love. Enjoy it." And then from all people, Marilyn Manson. Sacrifice to me is something you do without expecting something in return. Very wise words from the man who was blamed for Bowling for Columbine.